What does it mean to run with endurance? Let's find out today on Changed by Grace. Welcome to Changed by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. We're currently looking at the ingredients of an effective life. We're not to give up, and we're to run with endurance. Endurance is needed to run the race. There are many things that hinder us and bring us down, but as we will learn today, there's a reason to keep going. Let's find out more as we study together from God's Word.
In June 1955, Winston Churchill, who was then near the end of his life, was asked to give a commencement address at a British university. At this time, he was physically infirm. He had to be helped to the podium. And then he held onto the podium for what seemed an interminable amount of time. He stood with his head down, but then finally raised his head, and the voice that years before had called Britain back from the brink of destruction sounded publicly for the last time in history. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. With that, Churchill turned and went back to his seat. And as this writer tells us, I'm told that there was silence, and then as if one person, the whole audience, rose to applaud him because he was a man whose life and words were together. Again and again throughout Churchill's political career, he had known setbacks. Three times his career apparently was over. He was sent off to oblivion, and yet somehow he had a sense that there was still something left after the worst. If I could encourage you today, I would reiterate those words, never give up. And we talked about that last time from Galatians chapter 6 when we saw the first ingredient of effective life. And that first ingredient was, do not grow weary. Galatians 6:9 tells us, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The idea of growing weary here means to give into evil. We don't want to give into evil while doing good, because in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Another way that we are not to grow weary is by becoming discouraged. One person tells us, let me tell you the secret that has led me to my goal. My strength lies solely in my tenacity. Not giving up. And in those times of discouragement, turning to Jesus Christ. If you will, take your Bible and turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. Last Sunday morning, we had an opportunity to look at some of the verses that are found here. This morning, I want to look at these verses again. When we talk about becoming weary, we talk about losing heart, becoming discouraged. Is there a way out of that? Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "The only fight which is lost is that which we give up." So if I could encourage you in those words, God wants us not to grow weary. He wants us not to grow weary in doing good. But notice the second thing, and it's in your outline this morning, and we find it here in Hebrews chapter 12. We need to run with endurance. Notice Hebrews chapter 12, it says there in verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight or encumbrance or mass or bulk that is weighing us down and hindering us from running the race. Let us lay aside all of that, and the sin here could be that which is commonly known as unbelief. And then he says, and which so easily ensnares us, that is, that unbelief will come in and just wrap itself around you, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I've had several opportunities to run in my life. and try to take that up on a regular basis, and it seems like when I stop, it's so hard to get it going again. But I do remember all of those times of running that endurance was certainly needed. In fact, I called on it many times, especially if you run with Mike. Mike has a fast pace and a long distance. And I've got to sometimes I just say, keep going. Just keep going. I'll meet you there. Maybe 2 hours later, but I'll be there. I remember a race one time that we ran down at the beach. I think I've told you this before. Teresa had been preparing for this 5 mile run on the beach, and I said, I'll run it with you. I hadn't trained for it or anything, and just tell you how a little bit of confidence she had in me. After the race was over, she went looking for me. And looking for me. And looking for me. And I had already come in. I did it. I finished the race. You see, that is the goal that we have in mind. We want to finish the race. The race that we're in. And the Christian life has looked at that like a race. And sometimes we feel like giving up when we get discouraged or we feel weighted down. But we must remember we have to run with endurance. This is the key to finishing the race. We are to run with endurance. The word endurance there is found there in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12 when he says, run with endurance. The word means a steady determination to keep going. You've got to have a steady determination not to give up, but to keep going. It means continuing even when everything in you wants to slow down or giving up. That's tough, isn't it? In those days when you feel like you have no strength left, the writer of Hebrews tells us you need to keep running. And you need to do it with endurance. Fritz Reinecker says that endurance is the spirit which can bear things, not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope. It is not the spirit which sits statically enduring in one place, but the spirit which bears things because it knows that things are leading to a goal of glory. If you were to look with me over to James chapter 1, we see that there is a goal in mind. In James chapter 1, when we're going through trials and difficulties and troubles, James tells us that there is a goal in mind. And that goal is found there in verse 4 when he says, and let patience or endurance, it's the same word, hypomone, let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, God has a goal in what you face. And what you experience. The goal is spiritual maturity. Unfortunately, the path to spiritual growth comes through trouble. It comes through trials. And I don't think it's necessarily the trouble itself, but it's what it does to you, what it allows you to become during the midst of those troubles. Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us we need to run with endurance. And in order for us to run with endurance, we have to lay aside that encumbrance, that weight, that bulk, that mass. And we have to lay aside the sin which engulfs us so that we can run this race with endurance, the race that's set before us. And as we mentioned last week, that when we run this race, we got to keep our mind on who we're running to. We got to keep our mind on the goal. And the goal is found there in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We've got to look to Him. And the problem is when we feel like giving up, we're looking at ourselves. We've gotten our eyes off the goal. We've gotten our eyes off the prize. What helps me when I do run is knowing that there is an ending in sight. Unless you're running around a track and you're running in circles. And then you have to try to keep count. You know, four more times makes a mile. But see, we've got to look to Jesus. And I know that sounds pious. But it's the truth. And looking unto Jesus and running this race with endurance means that I have to daily look unto Him. It's a daily issue. It means that I have to make the time, I have to make the opportunity to spend with Him daily. If I'm going to be effective in my life for God, if I'm going to be effective in my life in reaching others for Christ, then I need not to grow weary and I need to run this race with endurance. And when you think about this race of endurance, this is the spirit that we see demonstrated throughout the New Testament. Over there in Acts chapter 20, as Paul speaks to the elders there at Ephesus, we see that Paul expresses this type of attitude to these elders over in Acts 20 and beginning at verse 17. Notice what he says here. Luke is writing for us. He says, "From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and he called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials.'" Would you please underline that verse? Sometimes we think the Christian life is not expected to have any trouble. And the person that told us that wasn't telling us the truth. In fact, we're told by Jesus Christ Himself, in the world, you will have tribulation. But we forget what He says after that. He says, "But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." That's why we need to look to Jesus as we run this race. That's why we need to keep our eyes fixed on Him. That's why we have to run with endurance and not give up. That's why we need that tenacity of spirit as we run. Well, Paul says here that he served the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. And you go throughout the book of Acts and you see when he came into city after city that those who did not respond to the gospel in a positive way by believing in Jesus Christ, what did they do? They stirred up a riot. We know when he came into Thessalonica that there were Jews that were stirred up and he had to leave the city. He went down to Berea, found a group of people down there that were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians, in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether the things that he was sharing with them was the truth. And that same mob in Thessalonica went down to Berea, and what did they do? They stirred up a scene. Trials, humility, tears. It comes with the calling. All of us have that same calling. As a child of God, we have been called to trials and to tears, to humility. He says in verse 20, "And how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house." Let me just say something for a moment. When you're going through what he says in verse 19, many tears and trials, how hard is it to continue to go publicly from house to house teaching? What do you have to do to keep yourself centered on your priority? To keep that proper perspective? Well, he says here that he kept back nothing. He proclaimed it to you, taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that chains and tribulations await me. Here's his key. Here's the answer to that question, verse 24. But none of these things move me. He didn't have his eyes on those things. They came with the territory. He says, "Nor do I count my life dear to myself." And see, that's the problem is that we can't handle the trials and the tribulations in this life because we do count our lives dear. And Paul says he didn't count his life dear. He says, "So that I may finish my race with" what? Say it with me. Joy. We can have joy in trouble. That's what James said in James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. We can have joy in the midst of trials. But we can't have joy if we're centered and focused on the trials. And if we're centered and focused on ourselves. We have to ask God to humble us and get our eyes off ourselves and off the problems, off the troubles, and to get our eyes on Him. He says, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. How many of you ever prayed this? Lord, I don't know how I can go on today, but help me to be faithful to You. Wouldn't that be what you get out of verse 24? He wanted to finish the race. And he wanted to be faithful to the ministry that he had received from the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be found as good stewards of what God has given to us. And if all hell breaks loose while you're trying to minister, minister anyway. That's the spirit that we need to have. He also expresses the same attitude to the church at Corinth. Look with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These have been some very encouraging words found here in the first couple verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I told you last week in those moments when you feel like giving up, think of what Peter said when Jesus asked him, as well as the 11, will you go away also? And Peter says, where can I go? You have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to turn. But notice these words here too. These are also comforting words. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We don't get discouraged. We don't give up. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You go down to verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. We have to have endurance. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We would like to express these same words and the same attitude as Paul did to Timothy over in 2 Timothy 4:7 when he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love His appearing. Wouldn't you like to say that? Comes to the end of your time, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. See, we have to run this race with endurance. And we have to run this race in the midst of many tears and many trials and much humility. You see, I kind of look at it this way. We need to accept it instead of trying to escape from it. We're always trying to escape from trouble in our life. And we think that the grass is always greener on the other side of the hill. Well, come to find out it's not, is it? The same troubles that you experience, everyone in here experience trouble. Trials, tribulations, tears, discouragement, feeling like giving up. Most pastors in their heart resign every Monday morning. One pastor told me, he said, I don't take Mondays off because if I feel miserable on Monday, I'm going to let the church feel miserable too. I think one of the things that helps is not counting your life dear. Reminding yourself why you're here. What's the purpose of your life? What is the purpose of your existence? Why did God save you and lead you here? What is He wanting to accomplish in you? And what road will He cause you to travel to get you to the place where you can do what He wants you to do? See, we all experience the same kinds of things, but we all travel a different highway in terms of the troubles that we experience. Some of us can blaze through life and none of these things affect us. Some of us carry every single weight that we experience. Some of us can cast them off at times. Some of us are swallowed by them. Most people that attend church today that become unfaithful is because at some point they misunderstood the Christian life. And we didn't help them in the process because we started talking about all of the positive benefits of the gospel. We didn't tell them about the hardships and the troubles and the trials. And yet we didn't even offer to be there when they go through it. Because we saw last time in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the things that we experience and the comfort that we receive from God. God gives us that comfort so that we can comfort others who are going through trials. That same comfort that we have received, we're to minister it to others. You see, somehow we've got in our mind that we're alone in this process. We're alone in Philippians chapter 1 where it says that God has begun that work in you and that He is only doing it to you and He's doing it in such an isolation. That's not true. We are the body of Jesus Christ. We're members of one another. When you hurt, we all should hurt. When you rejoice, we all should rejoice. How do you prevent weariness then? We'll go back to Hebrews chapter 12. You prevent this weariness by doing what is in the middle of verse 12, by laying aside this bulk, this mass, this encumbrance, this unbelief. Allowing the Holy Spirit of God to strip off the things in your life that are hindering you as you run the race. You lay aside sin and you do what verse 2 says, you look unto Jesus. And then according to James chapter 1, as we've looked there, you seek to maintain a proper perspective of your trials. You see, the only way that you can have joy in the midst of trouble is that you maintain a biblical perspective. And again, to have that perspective, you must get your eyes off the trial, off the trouble, off yourself, and put them on someone else, someone greater than you. And that's Jesus. This is how you prevent weariness. Again, I remind you, the only fight which is lost is that which we give up. Don't give up. And don't give in to temptation and evil. Don't give in to that temptation to stop pursuing the right things. There are so many people in so many churches that have stopped pursuing the right things. The truth. Praise God that the standard is outside of us. It's not up to us to come up with the standard. Jesus Christ and His Word is the standard. And you know what? Most evangelicals know that and believe that. But when it comes to the application of that, you know where this thing sits during the week? And then we wonder why we can't maintain the proper perspective, why we grow weary and why we can't run with endurance. Well, if our lives are going to be effective, then the first two ingredients is do not grow weary. The second one is run with endurance. The third one is look to your reward. Look to your reward. This needs to be your focus. Go back to those words that Greg read just a few moments ago in Philippians chapter 3. Paul pursued the prize. Did he not? He says there in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He says, "I press, I pursue." It's used of speeding on earnestly. It speaks of one who in a race runs swiftly to reach the goal. He's pursuing it. He's determined. And he's running after the prize. And that was the award to the victor in the games. Are you pursuing? Are you running steady? Listen to what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says in verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Do we have that kind of tenacity? Do we have that kind of spirit? That endurance? You see, beloved, again, we've got to get our eyes off ourselves. We've got to get our eyes on Jesus. We've got to get our eyes on the right things. Look to your reward. You say, we shouldn't look to our rewards. That's kind of a crash way of serving the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. You tell an athlete that's working toward the goal of the prize, and you say, listen, that's the wrong motive to serve. That's the wrong motive to play the game.
Hebrews 12:2 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus. He is the key to running the race." You've been listening to Stay in the Race from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. This message is available on one full-length audio CD. And you can request your copy today by calling us at 904-651-3351. You can also download the free MP3 from our website by visiting us at www.changedbygrace.org. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I do want to thank you for joining us today, and I hope you'll join us again next time as we study together from God's Word. Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I would like to invite you to our 11 o'clock service this morning at Eastport Baptist Church. We're located at 1322 Eastport Road in Ocean Way. We are biblical, expository, and reformed. So I hope that you'll join us and worship with us together. I hope to see you then.